Yes, good morning. Daniel King again with the Daily Inspiration. I'd like to pick up where I left off yesterday morning on the thought of presenting a gospel that requires no cost at our hand. And that cost is, in short, our life, our will, and our dreams and our hopes, and the things that we as an individual and a person have planned for our future is the cost. The cost is to give our life to Christ. You know, we often hear, you give your heart to Jesus. Well, that can sound like more of a something that we can get used to hearing, or we've probably heard it a lot. Give your life to Christ. We sort of get used to those terms and we sort of forget what they actually mean, perhaps. Well, your heart is the very core of who you are. That's what it means by your heart. Obviously, it doesn't mean the fleshly heart that's beating in your chest, but it means the core and, in a sense, like the master of who you are, really deep down inside. It most certainly includes your will, and it includes your desires. It includes how you think, or rather what makes you think. It includes your reactions, or what makes you react. It includes who you are as a person. That is what the Bible means when it talks about your heart. It means the very deepest seat of affections. And your life, of course, would be your physical body. And also that would include the heart and everything else. But what I mean by the body is how the Bible says that we need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And what that means is that our life needs to be on the altar and offered up to the Lord as an offering, as it was done in Old Testament days, that they would offer up something to the Lord, and it would seem like it was a waste. As far as the eyes of this life could perceive, because here you have a completely healthy animal or a lamb or whatever it was, an oxen, you laid it on an altar and you burned it, you know, and you offered it up, and the whole thing went up in smoke, and it just, well, what's that? That's, you know, how can that please the Lord? But in God's eyes, it was a gift given by man to him. A sacrifice, and it was pleasing to him. And in that way, same way, obviously, when we lay our lives on the altar, we do not get burned up and burn ourselves, but rather it is a living sacrifice, and that's what that means. It is a life, a body that is alive, and yet it's on the altar offered up to God. And you know, it's we know what it's like to receive a gift from someone, maybe a close friend or a family member, and they give us the gift, but they never really give us full rights to the gift. You know, it might be maybe our older brother gives us a bicycle or something, and but it's something he likes for himself, and so he sort of gives it as a gift to make it look like he's a generous person, but then in the end he still claims the bicycle and rides it whenever he pleases. And how that, we would not consider that an appropriate way of giving a gift. A gift is a gift. So a gift is relinquishing your rights to the item that you're giving and giving it over to someone else. And that's a little bit how it is. As we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice up to the Lord, we relinquish our rights to govern our own life. and we are now at his disposal and his direction. And that's what I mean by the cost. When we present the gospel, we need to make sure that that element is included as we share with people the way of life, the passing from death to life, as we present this invitation to come unto Jesus. We need to make sure that we include that part of the gospel. Yes, there might be fewer converts, but the converts that turn to the Lord will know what they're getting themselves into. And so we need to present the cross. We need to make sure that those that we're presenting the gospel to know that to accept Christ is to relinquish and hand over the keys and basically everything that we own, giving it to the Lord. And it may not be that God will choose to take away those things that we own, but then again, maybe in certain cases, he will choose to. So the bottom line is that we need to be okay with handing over the keys and allowing God to call and make the decisions. And we are at his feet saying amen to his will with a broken and a surrendered heart. The other aspect and element that is often left out in sharing the gospel is the John the Baptist style repentance. And repentance is a lifestyle. Repentance is ongoing. Repentance and humility go hand in hand, and that is a very important ingredient in both coming to Christ and living for Christ as we continue to face things in our hearts that come up and we realize that this is of the flesh, this is not of the Lord. Need to be taken to the cross, repented of, and in humility and brokenness. So the John the Baptist style repentance is coming to a place where we realize that one question I like to ask people who seem to have difficulty seeing themselves as sinners, remember, unless someone sees himself as a sinner, he really has no need for a doctor. The person who does not see himself as sick has no need for a doctor. And Jesus said, I am not come to those that are well, but to those that are sick in need of a physician. And so unless the sinner that we're ministering to sees himself as a sick person, there's no way he's going to really feel the need for Jesus Christ. So one question I like to ask to the people that I'm sharing with is, are you a good person with some bad habits? Or are you an evil person with some good habits? And that is a big difference in that question. Because John the Baptist said, if I can find it here, in Matthew 3, verse 10, he said, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So what that means is the axe is not laid to the fruit of the tree, neither is it laid to the branch of the tree, neither is it laid to the trunk of the tree, but it is laid to the root of the tree, meaning the tree is it is us, the individuals. The axe would be what brings death to and what chops off, okay? So if the axe were to be laid at the fruit of the tree, it's like saying the person is pretty good with some bad habits. So you don't want to ruin the person. You just want to get rid of these bad habits. And so you take your axe and you chop off the fruits that are not good fruits. That's not what the Bible says. Neither does it say cutting a branch off. It doesn't say cut out a good portion of your life. Take away the bad and leave the good. Kind of sort through your life, you know, and just kind of leave the good there and take away the bad. It doesn't say that. Neither does it say the trunk. It doesn't say that. Mostly our lives are corrupt, but there's a few remaining good things that we need to leave there and cut the trunk, you know, at the middle of the trunk somewhere, or leave the root system in the stub of the trunk there. But rather it goes all the way down and the axe is laid to the root of the tree. In other words, the axe is laid to the root of the problem. And that's where we need to address. The root of the problem is that we're altogether sinful. We're not righteous at all. And there's no righteous bone in us outside of Christ. We are completely sinners. Even the things that we try to do right, the good habits we have, as the Bible says, are viewed as filthy rags in God's eyes outside of Jesus Christ. So that's what it means about a deep repentance. It's coming to a place that I am a sinner. I am an evil person. I'm not a good person with some bad habits. I am an evil person. I am a sinner through and through. And out of that comes a cry deep within the heart, Lord, save me from myself. I am the problem. Lord, save me from myself. And as we point out these aspects that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And those two aspects, hand in hand, presenting a deep repentance and also the aspect of giving your life completely to Christ, makes for strong Christians. I've once heard a man say, what you use to win people to Christ is what you continually need to feed them to keep them there. So if people are drawn to Christ by a beautiful invitation of a prosperous life, then those are the very ones that once hard times come, they will become discouraged. Because they were looking for a prosperous life. As the Bible says, that when the cares of this life come, they will be choked and they will wither. So let's make sure that we present the gospel in the way that Christ presented it, and that we are faithful in not watering down the gospel, but present it just as it is, that unless Christ can come in and sit on the throne of our hearts and we are on the cross, there will not be a life that is springing forth with the fruits of the Spirit. And we all know that our hearts praise the Lord when we see a life that is full of the Spirit of God and is governed by the will of God, and the fruits of the Spirit are flowing out of that life. But we also know when we see a life like that, that there has been a great work done, a great work of repentance, a great work of sacrifice and surrendering of the will. So that is a beautiful thing when we see a life, but it is the way of the cross to go through to get there. Let us be faithful and make our calling and election sure, both in our lives and in others as we seek to bear that precious seed of the gospel. And remember that by doing that, there will be weeping. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious, precious seed, shall doubtless come again with much rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. May you go in the name of the Lord.